If you want to transition the slide, there we go. So one of the things that I've learned from my seminary students is that they're bright, they love the Lord, they want to serve others, but they're in significant need of mentoring and discipleship. I hear this just over and over and over from my students. And a story recently from a student of mine, who I'll refer to as Mike, he came into my office. He's pastoring he's an associate pastor at a church up in Pasadena, worship pastor, kind of second career for him, was a professional musician for many years, just brilliant guy, moved here from the East Coast, comes out of a broken family, and is sort of relatively new to ministry. And we were sitting in my office one day, and he was sort of talking about sort of his experiences and was kind of thinking about moving back to Florida and really kind of wondering if church ministry was going to be his gig. And I asked him, I said, what do you need? Like, what do you need right now sort of in your experience at the church and maybe from the people that you work with? And he said, I need someone bigger than me, right? I need someone bigger than me. I need someone who can kind of guide me as a new pastor, someone who can sort of help me through the process because so much feels new and I feel so overwhelmed by it and I don't know if I'm doing it correctly and I feel kind of insecure in this role. And as we talked about that, we sort of brainstormed a bit about what that might look like to sort of find someone bigger than him and what that really meant to him. And it kind of came out of his own family experience of dad leaving when he was relatively young, kind of the broken family and model and whatnot. And I was struck by a couple of things that came out of that for me. Both as I think about my students, because I've kind of heard general sort of themes about this for a while, and then pastors that I've seen in therapy, and most of them seem, in my experience, especially when they're sort of struggling, they seem to be flying solo. It doesn't mean they're the only pastor in the church, but they feel like they're sort of flying solo. And as a result of this, they're in a lot of pain. I actually think they're in a lot of emotional pain. They feel depressed, they feel isolated, they feel kind of lonely, and they feel very insecure. And so I guess as I sit up here today and I just think about sort of this sort of encouragement to you would be what it would look like to really sort of imagine if you're not already doing this, and maybe many of you already are, but if you're not already doing this, what it would look like to really deliberately mentor the younger kind of junior staff in your church. That would be the encouragement of my heart, really what the Lord has been laying on my heart as well. I'm in a faculty kind of research symposium at Biola, and one of the things we're sort of looking at is technology and Christianity. So we'll spend a week or two kind of doing this over the summer, just meeting and really kind of thinking through this. And one of the things that I've looked at recently is something that I had never heard of before called attention economics. How many of you have ever heard of attention economics? Yeah, have you heard of that? So it's an interesting idea. Attention economics is this notion that attention is a commodity, right? So your attention, your paying attention to anything is really a commodity. And there are people out there in economics and especially in technology whose entire job it is to maximize their ownership of that commodity from you. They're looking to sort of own your attention. And as I interact with students and I interact with my kids and I interact with my own brain and how easy it is to sort of give our attention to various mediums that are in our lives that really sort of draw, I think, kind of this energy away from us, I'm reminded of attention is a commodity. Attention is a resource. And attention is something that your staff, your junior staff, your interns are really needing from you, right? And so I know it's limited. I'm very confident of that. And yet at the same time, I just am encouraging you to kind of look for opportunities to speak to that. And then lastly, before I think the next slide would be great. And this is one of the things I'm learning, especially from the students and especially coming out of school psychology, and that is that my students are really comfortable talking about mental health issues because most of them have wrestled with their own. When I've done some just anecdotal sort of interaction with students as a group in various classes that I've taken, Many of them struggle with depression, anxiety, addiction. These are not foreign concepts that sort of other people have experienced. These are things that they've sort of wrestled with in the deep. And so they're comfortable talking about this. And this has really been a shift for me as I've spoken with pastors over the last 10 or 20 years. There's been a lot of movement towards comfortability with this. And so they're willing to talk about it. They want to talk about it. And I think they're coming out of a culture where there's internally, this has been something that they've had to kind of speak to fairly regularly, especially if you work in youth ministry, you're talking about this all the time. So I guess my encouragement to you is part of the reason I was hired at Talbot was because of the encouragement of Rick and Kay Warren to the dean of Talbot. They really wanted pastors to become more knowledgeable about mental health issues and be willing to sort of triage them at some level, because people with mental illness, they're going to meet with you first before they're going to meet with someone like me. And so the goal has been, how do we help train up a generation of pastors that are really ready to deal with this, I think, more directly? And so I'd encourage you to kind of, in one sense, sort of open them up a little bit and encourage them to talk with you about this, because I find they actually have a lot to speak to on this. So anyway, without further ado, I really want to pass this on to Chris, because I think he has some really phenomenal stuff to present. And I'm happy to talk about any of this after the service, after our time here today over lunch. So let me introduce Chris. Chris is a third-generation pastor's kid, having grown up in a music ministry family in the Nashville area, although I hear you like jazz. And so I love jazz, so let's talk jazz. Right? He's an ordained minister who completed his doctoral work in clinical psychology at Fuller Seminary. Chris was a campus pastor at APU for several years and now serves as a director of the Center for Vocational Ministry at Azusa Pacific Seminary, a center that's focused on cultivating resilience in ministry leaders through research and formational resources. Chris teaches courses in pastoral care and counseling, as well as courses in psychotherapy and Christian integration. He serves as a consultant to a number of denominations and seminaries in the area's clergy. You've got a long bio, man. clergy candidate assessment, clergy health, pastoral leadership. Chris is participating as a consultant and researcher with the Duke Clergy Health Initiative Profiles and Ministry Project for the Association of Theological Schools and the Flourishing in Ministry Project at the University of Notre Dame. So let's welcome Dr. Chris Adams.